You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
And Jeff Young.
Old Men Stories. Welcome to our show. We have some wonderful stories to share. This is a little introduction of what we will share this hour. Our 91st show comes out shooting. Shooting is mostly done for recreation, from shooting corks to shooting paintballs. Violent shooting is extremely rare, and we love to fill the headlines when it happens. Our stories can be in any direction, but there are 100,000 fun stories for any violent activity. You can probably find many fun shooting stories. First, think of all the things you have shot, from pool to Nerf guns. Did you have fun shooting? Second, as a marksman in your area of interest, tell what or whom you shot and what weapon. Tell the feelings as you did this. What were the circumstances that created the interesting old man story? Third, we share fun stories. Fourth, we have some new masters sharing life stories.
Good afternoon, everyone, from Fremont, California, and Lake Lizzie, Minnesota. It's Old Men Stories with Jeff Young and Roland Willits. In today's episode, we take aim and pot shots at shooting. Roland, are you there?
I sure am. And, you know, shooting's always, I've been shooting since I was watching Roy Rogers on TV. Yeah, I think before that, right around like on a stick. So shooting has always been an interest to me and a fun thing.
Well, yeah. Here's a question for you on that. Now, when you grew up, on television and on the radio, I think you mentioned in the past you grew up around the Roy Rogers and the Lone Ranger and the sort of six-gun shooting heroes on television. Would you say that influenced your want to shoot things?
No. No, it's a part of the family. I mean, we've always had shotguns around the house, and everyone always went hunting during hunting season. And I had a .22. I mean, on the movies, they always had six guns, but in the family, we always had rifles or shotguns. And I didn't actually have a pistol that worked until I was in my middle 20s. So, I mean, that wasn't a toy. Didn't shoot caps. So no, I didn't really follow the westerns. I went out hunting with a 22, and I would go for squirrels and rabbits and things like that. And with a shotgun, I'd go for pheasants. So no, there were like two different worlds. Okay.
Well, what is your favorite thing to shoot? What was your favorite thing to shoot of all time? Gun-wise, and then what were you hunting if you were shooting at something?
Well, you're shooting at something, and it wasn't hunting. It was, I started in my late 50s shooting trap. You know what a trap is, Jeff?
Is that skeet shooting?
Yeah, it's like skeet shooting. They have skeet, it's the same, you shoot at the same type target. It's a spinning disc, but trap, they shoot out of one place. And skeet, they shoot out of two different locations. They shoot the targets across, and you shoot them. But it's the same. It's the same idea. And then they have what they call sporting clays. And on that, you walk through an area, wood area or grass area, and then they will have targets that different kind of targets. Some were like bounce along the ground, and others will shoot straight up, and some will, you know, shoot across the road. They're all in a protected area, but you know, so you don't shoot anything. But those are fun. The sporting clays are fun. I think that's the most fun I've had, and you know, consistently with a gun. Although I love the pheasant hunt, and when they had it, what they call a pheasant farm up here, and a place where they would set out pheasants for you, and you'd go hunting. They would provide you with a dog, and you'd just pay a bit of money, and you'd go out and you'd shoot them. I liked that when I was older. When I was younger, we would go out hunting every weekend, just a bunch of the guys, and we would go ask the farmers if we could walk their fields, and then we would walk cornfields and try to scare up pheasants and shoot them. And we'd always bring home a few. Jeff?
Well, if you had to go back over all the guns you've ever shot before, what is your favorite?
Well, right now, we had two shotguns. And Terry had one, I had one. They were Berettas, gold. And we picked them up when I started trap shooting with my brother-in-law. And we had a lot of fun with them. And we had them up here, and someone left the back of the van with open. They moved it over a place, and they left it open over 4th of July, and my gun was stolen. We thought Terry's was, but that was my favorite gun. And because I shot like thousands of rounds of shells at little targets, it's a hobby. It's like paintball, and it's more fun for me than golf. And I really enjoy it, but I really love that gun. It was taken from me. And 3 years later, this year, Terry found a gun she thought was stolen that was hers, and she gave it to me. She says, here, you can have it. She says, I really don't like shooting that much anymore. So I got her gun, and I've been shooting it all summer, once a week, on Thursday afternoon at Pelican River Gun Club, about a mile out of Earhart, Minnesota. And go out there, and there's usually about six or seven of us guys, older fellas, and now there's some younger ones too. But we sit, and we just a bunch of guys around the table. We'd sit on these old benches, and we'd just sit and do a bunch of old men's stories. We just talk, and we keep up what's happening latest with everyone, and then we shoot around a trap, and then we sit and talk again for a while, then we shoot around a trap, then we go home. And that new gun, or the Terry's gun, I'm just falling in love with it. I think that's my super favorite right now. Jeff?
So you basically shoot the breeze, shoot around, then shoot the breeze some more.
Exactly. It's just a bunch of old duffs just having a good time, and it's just boys' evening out is when I go shooting, and it's really cool. And I was trying. I asked one of my friends, and actually he was on a radio for one time. His name is Rodney Zantz, and Rodney was a shooter, and I says, well, I need someone for shooting, Rodney. I says, can you help me? He says, well. He says, I can't. He says, yeah, I've already been out once, so rolling, like once was enough, and which I wasn't going to go for the answer. But then he said, I have someone for you. He says, you got to go to the local coffee clutch, whatever they call it, where all the old guys go every morning and have coffee. I says, where's that? He says, in Pelican Rapids McDonald's. And I says, well, oh, wow. I says, you know, over in Barnes, really, all meet at the Eagle Cafe in the morning, you know, all the old guys. Well, I went over there, and I mean, I wasn't one of the old guys until I found out three others on that little table I was talking to was like my age. But I grabbed the guy, he told me his name was Dale. And I says, Dale, I need you for my show. You really got some great stories on shooting. And he walked away. So I thought I was going to be without a guest. And I was just, oh, boy. Going to have to have Terry and I go up and do a little talking. But I was fortunate enough to find someone else, and we'll have him later. Jeff?
Well, maybe one of these decades I'll find the time to learn how to shoot an actual firearm. My dad tried to take me rifle shooting when I was younger, but I think I wasn't quite old enough for it, because I remember that he pretty much propped the rifle up on the stand for it and said, okay, look down this sighting scope and pull the trigger. Try to hit the target all the way down there. He took it to the, took my younger brother and I to the range. I might have been 14 at the time, maybe. I don't know. Whatever the minimum age is that you can have a minor shoot a rifle in a controlled situation. And I remember having a problem because looking through that itty-bitty scope hole with my glasses on, I couldn't really see anything. And taking them off was even worse. And sure, anybody can hit a target when the gun is already set up on a very static set of blocks for you. Just kind of pull the trigger. You can probably do one of those things where they wrap a piece of dental floss around the trigger and stand all the way back and pull the trigger there. So it wasn't terribly fun for me. And we only did that the once. On the other hand, and I really, when this topic came up, wasn't too sure about talking about shooting, because if I don't do any, how can I really talk about it? Then I realized I have done some shooting, and this particular story is about a team-building event that my writing group at the time took, and somebody had the bright idea of having our team-building event be at the Q-Zone Laser Tag Center, and we get these serious suit-wearing technical writers, and my manager, Lucille, and then we have a bunch of us who are the close to fresh out of college kids, and everyone went into the room, and we picked up these vests on the wall that were sitting there, and we were told, here, go out in this maze, go find the other team and shoot them. And it's interesting to see folks outside of a professional setting, after they've been filled up on pizza and soda, running around this maze of obstacles and portholes and windows, and you're told you can be shot 4 times, and then you have to go back to the base and recharge your gun and reset everything. And you realize that suddenly it's okay to shoot everyone else in your group. And afterwards, they give you your scorecards. Who did you shoot? How many times did you shoot them? And I don't remember where the scorecard went, but everyone got one. And I think that it was kind of funny that the person who shot me the most was my manager. Now, the person who had the best score, not surprisingly, was a person who had spent some time in the Army. The person who had the worst score was someone who, well, let's just say, despite the fact that they spent a lot of time playing arcade games that had shooting aspects to them, did not do terribly well, which is kind of surprising. And I was right in the middle, maybe towards the bottom of the pack, because I think my gun was malfunctioning, plus the fact that I was never really good at target shooting to begin with. Because real guns, just like laser guns, you kind of have to point and shoot, but you're not really shooting at what you're looking at so much as trying to do your best to shoot at what you're looking at, but now the gun is inches or like a few feet below your actual eye line. You have to compensate for that, and it takes a lot of practice and a lot of thought. And as I understand it, most hunting tends to be, okay, the deer stopped moving, shoot it now, versus the clay targets of, it is moving at a predictable speed and velocity, let's track this and try to lead the shot. No, this is somebody on the other end with a vest that the target is about maybe 4 inches by 4 inches that you have to hit with a laser beam that you can't see the back of or the pointer for, and they're moving erratically. So I'm surprised we hit anything at all. But turns out that we had a really interesting time. A couple people got a little nauseous from running around after having pizza, but that is definitely my most fun experience shooting. And I know it's not real guns, and I know it's not shooting to hunt things, but I can't say I've gone shooting. And I can say it was good, clean fun, even if I wonder if my manager had it out for me at the end of the day. But hey, I still work for it, so you never know.
You never know. You never know. Did you, when you were at our Christmas party, did you get a chance to shoot the Nerf guns?
I did not.
The kids did, though. My other two sons did, I know.
I don't think the Nerf guns came out at that point.
Oh, okay. They probably may have came out a little later.
Mm-hmm. Or earlier.
Or earlier, yeah. But every year we get a new set of, a new group of Nerf guns, because somewhere along the way we gave them away just to kids during the year. So we have to go buy another set of them, and then they just have a ball. They just run all over the you know, the building and shoot each other with the Nerf guns. So we always have a Christmas battle shootout. at the Willard's House. So that's fun. Shooting is part of our heritage. I mean, we've been shooting as humans going back as far as history of people being able to have a bow and arrow. And that's a long time. Oh, I had a cool experience when I was at the Hoopa Indians up in Northern California. One day I had my bow there, and I was going out to, you know, to practice my bow. And one of the fellas that was there, you know, I was talking to him about it. He says, "Well, I've never shot a bow." So I went out and I trained an Indian how to shoot a bow and arrow. Now that was something. I mean, it is unusual, really, but it's unusual to make the statement, because you never think of white men teaching Indians how to shoot a bow and arrow. But the bows and arrows, the bows they use nowadays are so much different than they used to be. These compound bows are just awesome. Going hunting is different than shooting, because if you go hunting, you may spend the whole day and never shoot. So I look at hunting as a different activity than shooting, because I went deer hunting. It took me 4 years to get a deer. The rest of the time I sat in a deer stand. And my major occupation when I stood in that deer stand was to watch the spiders make webs. Now, you'd be surprised at all the different kinds of webs that spiders can make. They are the most awesome contractors. I mean, God contracts them to make these webs, and they just make great ones. They make every one of them makes different kinds. That isn't shooting, though, is it, Jeff?
Shooting is a discipline, I think.
Well, I'm not shooting Nerf balls.
Nerf balls are still shooting. I mean, there is, I'm sure, out there a Nerf practice league or Nerf shooting league or something out there for sure. But one of your comments you just made me go look and think about the fact that there are different kinds, even bows out there, from the English longbow to the Indian hunting bow to the Mongolian horse bow. And I remember seeing a documentary about the Japanese samurai, I think it's called a Daiyaku bow, that they had this competition where the competitor is dressed up in full samurai armor on a horse, and he is riding around this course on horseback, and he has to make the course, shoot a whole bunch of targets while still riding, and make the best time. And that was fascinating to watch, because it's one thing to shoot when you're standing perfectly still, and the shooter's mentality is all about holding your breath and lining up your shot and feeling all this stillness and precision and taking the perfect shot, versus you're on a horse that's bouncing up and down and you're trying to guide the horse at the same time, because you're not supposed to stop technically in order to shoot that. So you're shooting on the run, literally. And it's a wonder that people could hit anything like that, but you get trained to kind of compensate for that sort of stuff. But yeah, no, what I found about the English longbow versus the Indian hunting bow is that the materials are different. And the English longbow is meant for shooting people through plate armor. And so it's got a longer draw and a longer range, because it's meant to do what's called cloud shooting, which is you essentially shoot a whole bunch of arrows up in the air and wait for them to come down and turn people into hat racks. You ever see some of those medieval style movies, the whole archer set loose kind of thing? It wasn't so much the one person shooting one arrow to hit one person. It's firing a cloud of arrows into the air that there's no way to avoid them when they come down upon your group. That's still shooting, though.
That's true. They just pull back and let go, and you have to be really strong. Those English longbows are extremely hard to pull back.
Do you have another story you want to tell before our break, or shall I?
Go ahead. Go for it.
Well, I was hoping to get master storyteller Laura Davis on the show, because she comes from a long line of shooters, or at the very least, she's the daughter of a shooter, because her dad used to hunt and used to shoot, and he did deer hunting with both guns, and he's got a really nice hunting bow, one of those compound drawstring gearage kind of things that she inherited from him. He passed a number of years ago, and she brought it back with her. But one of the things that she learned how to do from Master Storyteller Phil Wolkowski, who we had on the show a long time ago now, is they learned how to make their own arrows. And they've got what's called the Bitzenberger tool, which is a special metal tool just for making arrows. And it's designed where you set up your arrow shaft, and you have to put the feathers at the exact, I think, 45 or 60 degree angle, and the tool holds the thing steady. You glue them on at an angle, and you can either make target shooting arrows or hunting arrows, depending on the point you put on it and the material you make it out of. And I think one of the aspects about being a, I won't say more than a hobbyist shooter, is when you're serious enough to make your own ammunition. And Laura had a friend who was also getting into archery. She knew that Laura was into it. But hey, I just bought this bow, but I don't have any arrows. So Laura was going to go visit with a friend of ours in a few months, and she made some arrows. Bright purple fletchings, because that was her favorite color. And she tried to get them through the TSA. Now, the TSA, of course, the Transit Safety Authority, or they will not let you take any weapons on the plane, of course. And when they went and they saw this tube in the x-ray machine, they said, well, what's in there? They're arrows. They're in a sealed tube. I'm sorry, you'll have to check it. I don't want to check it because the cardboard tube, they may break. Well, then it's like, I don't know. She said, they're target arrows. You need to check. You need to check them or otherwise. And they finally opened up the tube and they said, okay, now that we've opened it, even though they have blunt tips, we're sorry, you cannot take them on the plane. Fortunately, I was still standing around waiting outside the security line, and she had to pass them back to me. And I had to mail them, and one of them came through broken anyway because the UPS kind of messed up when they shipped it. But it didn't matter. She didn't have a bow. She couldn't shoot the arrows in the airplane. They still thought they were too dangerous to have because she could probably stab someone with a blunt target arrow. And I understand them doing their job, but it was still kind of funny that even if you have nothing to shoot with, you can still be dangerous. Roland, you got 1 minute till the break.
Our next speaker, Lance, he actually has tried doing the shooting from the back of a horse.
Interesting.
But he's in a club that does some interesting things, and I'll go a little further into it when we start again in a couple minutes. And I'm sure just waiting here for the music. There it goes.
See you for more.
See you.
We get back. World and Stories.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Men Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Old Men Stories, as we are shooting around the idea of various topics related to shooting. Roland, are you there?
Yes, I am. And you know, I was going to say shooting pool, but I don't think we'll count that.
No, that doesn't quite count as shooting in this case.
That doesn't count as shooting. Yeah, they say shooting, and they always go back to the prime one, which was shooting bow and then shooting guns.
Mm-hmm.
And
although, have you ever shot fish in a barrel?
I have. Well, you know, I have done.
Really?
It's down on the Minnesota River every spring. The carp come up the river, and they come in swarms. They're like, you can watch them, and they're like, they cover the whole, you know, big areas of the river. And I took, I had a 100-pound bow, big bow, recurve at the time. They didn't have anything fancier than that. And you got to put a spool with a line in the front, and you take the arrow, you tie it back onto it, and you shoot out into the river. So it was a river bowl, and if you get at the right angle, it's pretty hard to miss. You seem to always pull out a big carp. So yes, I have.
Okay. Well, just out of curiosity, I looked it up, and the reason for this phrase, shooting fish in a barrel, according to Wikipedia, is because before the days of refrigeration, fish were packed and stored alive in large barrels. The barrels were packed to the brim full of fish. Any shot that entered the barrel would hit at least one of them. Thus, nothing can be easier than shooting fish in a barrel. Guaranteed success. Well, now
usually
I know.
They use a spear, though. Usually they use a spear, though.
Okay. Anyway, we have a long story break today, so Sharon, take it away.
Roland Willits, Old Men Stories. I'm here with Lance A. Now, I know what it is. I'm not going to say. I'm just going to have a say for it.
Yes, sir.
And Lance is sort of a business partner of mine also, sort of.
Yes,
it's sort of cool. It is. And Lance has done a lot of things in his life. One of them was being a radio announcer, wasn't it?
Yes, I was. I did that for quite a long time through college, and then I still have my hand in it quite often.
Oh, wow. What was it? I got W, because W's everyone.
Well, the very first one was KBRF.
KBRF, okay.
Fergus Falls, Minnesota. The second one was WDAY out of Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, wow. And that's where you work with?
That's where I still do the occasional gig.
How long has that been?
Oh, boy, that's been since 1987.
Wow.
Oh. But that's not what I do for a living.
I know. I know, you're in the pot and flowers.
Well, that, you know, I like to say it like this. When I was a kid, I enjoyed playing in a sandbox, Roland, and nowadays I get paid to do it.
You get paid to do it.
I'm
cool.
A professional landscaper.
Wow, that's really nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You get to go to work and play every day with all the big toys and some of the small ones. And you still get your hands dirty. At the end of the day, you frequently have a little bit of dirt underneath the fingernails. Yeah, it's really something that I've always enjoyed.
Wow. Yep. And it's nature's design.
Yes, sir. Nature's
design. And we set it up on a website. It was Nature's One Design.
Yes, sir. No, it's been a lot of fun. I've been a landscaper for 25 years now.
It's a long time.
Yep. In my spare time, I like to get out and have a little bit of fun. My regular job is a landscaper. In my spare time, I like to raise money for what's called Honor Flight, flying World War II veterans out to Washington, D.C., totally free of charge. It's just in honor of their service so long ago, it gives them a chance to see their World War II memorial before they don't have a chance.
That's true. They are disappearing really fast.
Yes, sir. And they didn't get a memorial until 2005, which personally to me was a great shame. And time's of the essence.
It is. It is. I see a lot about the VFW.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep. I go down to McDonald's in the morning and see a few. That's where they hang out, in McDonald's at Pelican.
Good cup of coffee.
Rapids, yeah, and the Eagle Camp in Barnesville.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do they make that Lakeland? You know,
yeah, occasionally they'll stop off there. I know quite a few veterans that stop in for the pie.
They got good pie.
Strawberry pie, you know it, man.
And we're on, by the way, we're on radio and TV, by the way.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Okay. This is going to be broadcast tomorrow, 4 o'clock, WQ4D, Old Men Stories.
Really?
Yeah, so you'll be on the radio and live web. Hell, we'll get you both places.
Does that mean I qualify as an old man?
Did your kids say you are?
Not yet.
What do you mean, not you? They don't dare?
They're still too young.
Oh, they're still too young. Huh?
I had kids later in life.
So. You sure did, boy.
Yeah. I got
to be in business 25 years and not have kids call you old man. Yeah, you got to be with her. They start doing that when they're 3.
Well, I've had employees try doing it, but they get shut down.
So they do it, it's just behind your back, isn't it?
I still got it.
So. It's just behind your back, isn't it?
More than anything.
Yeah, you're an old man. We're all old men. Yeah. Relatively, we're all old men.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, you just look at some kids when you're growing up 2 years younger than you and you're an old man.
Yep.
You're in seventh grade and they're only in fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a relative term.
It is. It really is.
So, yeah, you're an old man. But you're also a gunslinger.
Well, I'm a little bit of a Minnesota cowboy.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, there's a whole lot of worse things a person can be doing in this world. And for me, I grew up watching Rowdy Yates. I watched, oh gosh, everything from Gunsmoke to John Wayne. That was the classics. You know, just going out Gene Autry. And I mean, God, even Zorro and all Rawhide, all the great shows. Thoroughly loved them all. And now that I've grown up a bit, I get to live out the dreams of my youth.
You don't grow up, you add layers.
Yeah, you add layers.
I'm and you can go back to any layer anytime you want.
That works for me. I had a whole lot of fun doing it.
And it is funny because he sat down on the chair here and he got stuck. And it's not because he was wide, it's because he had 3 guns on him, or was it 4 sitting on your butt?
Well, I got 3 on me right now.
You got 3. I saw 3, so I figured it might have been one hidden I didn't see. So he has 2 sitting one on each side, and one's for a cross draw, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And the other's for a straight draw.
Correct.
And then you have one in your back belt.
That's my backup.
That's your backup. Okay, and the one you can take the one out on the left side. You cross draw right. For that.
My cross draw. It's a little difficult in a chair like this.
It is a chair. It's a little small, a rocking chair. A little, but he has a. What is that?
That is a Ruger Single 6 in a Bisley style grip. It's a quick drop down.
Right.
Single action, which means you have to manually cock the pistol every time to advance the cartridges forward. I shoot .45 long Colt, which is one of the original cowboy calibers.
Right, yes.
You know, it's one of those classics, because what I do is called cowboy action shooting. And the whole premise of it is we use the same type of firearms that the cowboys did. And we just use them in more modern variants. Now, some of my rifles, some of my shotguns are old-timers.
Right.
Pistols, just due to safety concerns, using modern smokeless powders, you want to use a modern firearm as a general rule just for overall safety.
Safety, yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But these are fantastic pistols to shoot. They're absolutely outstanding when it comes down to accuracy, reliability. I mean, you know, it's firearms like this that won the West. And, you know, it's There was a lot of dark times back then too, but you know, this is about not cowboys and Indians. It's about cowboys and living the cowboy ideal and having a little bit of fun doing it, playing out what we always wanted to do when we were kids. And it's part of the Single Action Shooting Society, SAS, which cowboy action shooting is the fastest growing shooting sport in America.
Wow.
And, you know, I look at it this way. There's many different categories a person can shoot. I shoot cowboy, which is any age. I could shoot Wrangler for over 36. But, you know, when it comes down to it, it's all about enjoying a shooting sport, which can be a family sport, involving your wife, involve your kids, providing they're old enough. You know, it's all about enjoying time together, camaraderie, having some fun. And in my case, I have two younger children. My daughter will be starting cowboy action shooting this year. We've been practicing with a rifle and, you know, haven't done the handgun yet, but we work up. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I'd rather have my children learn respect for firearms from me in a controlled environment, going through the whole process of learning respect for something that, you know, in other circumstances could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big believer in not hiding something like that from a kid, putting it up on a shelf and saying you can't touch. That just breeds curiosity, and that's when accidents happen. I'm a responsible gun owner. I keep all my firearms locked and secured, all my ammunition secured. But when it's time to do this sport, that's when the serious phase comes on, and that's when we work together, and that's when we have fun as a family.
Cool. Where do you shoot? I just see a spot around your place over there.
Well, yep, I have my own shooting range. I have a 16-acre property just over from my home, which actually it's attached to one of my work properties, but I have a shooting range dug into one of our large hills, so I have almost a 30-foot backstop behind me, trap my bullets, prevent anything from happening. I'm a big believer in safety, everything from ear protection, eye protection, and making sure my bullets go where they're supposed to. And safety is everything when we do this. But yeah, I go all around the area, everywhere from East Grand Forks to Enderlin, North Dakota, Center North Dakota, down by the Twin Cities, Alexandria, Minnesota. Quite a large area. There's ranges all over that have come into being since the mid-80s when this whole cowboy action shooting thing started. And so what happened is we all just... we go, we travel, we have fun, we socialize. I've got friends from across the country. I've got friends internationally that do this. And we see each other. We look forward to seeing each other. And we just, it's like one big family.
Wow. And you said you create your own character there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When you get into cowboy action shooting, you start out as a newbie. And... you walk up to the table for the first time to register, and they ask you, what's your alias? Well, that first time you walk up, you don't know. Second time, you might not know. It might be a few times before you know. You know, sometimes it just comes naturally. You know, a fellow like you might call himself Slim.
I'm Buck.
I might be Stretch. You know,
Terry's always been Buck.
Yep, it's one of those things. My brother is the North Dakota Undertaker. And... I'm thinking real hard about switching my alias, but, you know, when it comes down to it, everybody has a uniqueness about them that you just got to have some fun with, and they call me Bob.
They just call you Bob.
They just call me Bob.
I like that.
You know, it's just, it's one of those things. It's plain, it's simple. Bob's up next. Bob is on deck, you know.
Hey, Bob up.
Yes, sir. I shoot Bob. You got to have some fun with him. You got to have some fun with him. But no, it's all about traditional shooting and traditional shooting sports. You're shooting a scenario, And to give you a little bit of an idea about it, you're using the period firearm. So you'd be using a double barrel shotgun. It would be a break action. It wouldn't have ejectors. So literally you'd have to break it open, swing it over, give it a little shake, and drop your shells out.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might be using one of the old lever action shotguns. Or it could be like a Winchester 1897, which was a pump, hammered shotgun. I mean, they had the old butterfly that would pop up. And well, it was the firearms that were actually in use by...
And you do it as fast as you can in a sequence.
In a sequence, in a safe manner. You're shooting a scenario. Your rifle is a lever-action rifle in a pistol caliber. And for myself, I shoot a Winchester 1892 octagon barrel rifle. It's it can hold, actually a little more than 11 shots, but... You load 10 rounds into your handguns, 5 in each, so they're a 6 gun, but for safety reasons, you still put hammer down on an empty cylinder, empty chamber.
Mm-hmm.
The rifle, you load 10 rounds, unless there's a special hiccup that's going to be given to you in that scenario. And your shotgun sits empty and you load that one on the fly. So, you might be sitting at a card table, and on occasion you got a Derringer thrown in. Or something else. Well, now you might be sitting at a card table in a saloon, and everything's timed, and there's a line judge. He's your range officer standing right behind you. He's got a shot timer, and when that buzzer of that goes off, that starts the clock, and you might have a handful of cards in your hand, and when that buzzer goes off, you got to throw them down, and you say, "You dirty cheating scum." And then you have to draw, let's say, a Derringer out of your vest pocket or grab it off the table. And you've got a balloon sitting 6 feet in front of you on a post. And that little balloon's about yay big, and you've got two shots to hit it. One's a .45 long colt, the other one's a .410 shotgun shell. You go bang, and if you miss it, you've got to recock, bang again. And hitting that little target that close, you wouldn't think it would be that hard, but I know a whole lot of darn good shooters that missed it. Well, when it comes down to it, as soon as you're done taking those two shots, you slam that pistol down, you get up, you go running for the saloon doors, you burst out, and next thing you know, you're in deep trouble because the sheriff acted fast. Now there's a posse coming after you. You got 10 riders coming right down the street. Well, you grab your six gun, and you draw, you shoot five, holster, cross draw in my case, shoot five more, holster that one up, and now you got to beat a fast retreat out of town, but you're running like heck. You're going for your horse, but now, by gosh, now you got trouble. You got some cattle that have stampeded, and they're coming right at you. Now you're in deep trouble, so you grab your shotgun leaning up against the water trough. You pick that up. You shoot two, break, drop them, load two more, shoot those. Break again, drop those shells, that part is done, you set that shotgun down. Now you run up to your horse, which in our case is a sawhorse, we call it a quarter sawhorse, made up to look like a horse. Got a saddle on, scabbard on, you get up on that horse, now you gotta be a fast retreat out of town. But now you got five more cowboys coming at you, so you grab your rifle out of your scabbard, you bring it up, you work your action, you bring your first shell into the chamber, and you shoot 10 times. You might have five targets, shoot bang, 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 right down the line. You repeat and put her back in the scabbard, and that all happens. That's the end of your stage. That all happens in about 30 seconds.
Wow!
But you do it in a safe manner. You're not traveling a long distance from point A to point B.
And you're in a safe environment.
You're in a safe environment. You know, it's a controlled environment. There's very specific rules, very specific procedures you have to follow to make this safe. But, you know, every man, every woman, every person who does this understands the limit of their abilities. Now, I'm not youngster like I used to be when I first started. I'm moving a little bit slower, but, you know, I'm a little bit more accurate, too. You know, I can wrap them off pretty darn fast. When I'm working the six guns, it's like listening to a sewing machine. Mm-hmm. I got a lot more friends that can wrap them off even faster.
Wow.
You know, it's just an enjoyable shooting sport when it comes right down to it.
Well, that sounds really nice. You know, I just shoot trap. That's just about it. Oh, you know, I shot skeet and other anything with the shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I go on, I do have, you know, pistols and knives.
Oh, yeah.
just a quiet one.
I've got a couple of those. Yep. There are a lot.
You have a lot of guns. He has about 5 guns that he brought here.
Well,
and when we finish this, we're going to do an action video afterwards, and I'll get you on, on action.
I should have got you in my range and done it for real.
Well, we could do that. You can do pictures over there.
The whole fun of this sport is just, I won't say it's going out just for shooting's sake. It's for keeping your mind sharp, having fun, exercising, which there's quite a lot of this. I mean, it's a whole lot of making you think. It's very mental, because you can have a scenario where you have to shoot 5 this way, and then, whoops, you got to reverse and shoot them back this way.
Yeah, there we go.
And a lot of times a guy wants to shoot them like this and then go back and shoot them again. You might have to shoot outside target, inside target, inside target, middle, and then go with your other handgun and do it reverse order.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's an absolute riot.
It's a lot of fun.
You see a whole lot of smiles.
Sort of Nerf for adults.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it really is. But it's a whole lot of fun when you get down to it. It's, well, for one thing, it's being out in the outdoors. It's enjoying God's great earth. It's having some fun with friends, meeting new friends, meeting an awful lot of new friends. Seeing the creativity that's out there. As well, to explain it like this, I came over tonight wearing a pair of jeans, wearing one of my regular shirts that I, in this case, one that I wear when I'm raising money for Honor Flight. I'm wearing my Extreme Makeover Home Edition hat, which I participated with and worked for and had a whole lot of fun. But then I change over and the vest comes on, the cowboy hat comes on. Now, normally I wear a black hat, but for the purposes of this interview, I wear my Sunday going to meeting church hat, which happens to be a white Texas shag.
I haven't put that on yet, but we'll get that out a little
bit. Yeah, it's one of those things.
Yeah, I know. I haven't put mine on either.
There you go. There you go.
But sometimes when you're Western, it's on the bed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's where our hats are, on the bed.
I just thoroughly enjoy the early morning, the cup of coffee, smell of gunpowder. I mean, it sounds funny. It sounds like an old, Robert Duvall line, but that smell of gunpowder in the morning. I grew up on a farm. I shot. I hunted. I did a whole lot out in the woods, enjoying myself. And walking streams, hunting birds, deer hunting, squirrel, everything else in between. And it brings back a lot of memories and fun from my youth. Lance Akers, Old Man Stories.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Now that has got to be the best, spot-on, dead-eye storyteller that we've ever had on the show to date in terms of subject matter and in terms of being fun to listen to. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I can see the visuals. I can see the idea of having a cowboy competition. I think I heard a little bit about that too at one point in time that they held down south of here somewhere. And it makes me think, maybe if I find a good shooting course, next time Master Storyteller Cat Welgi is out here, maybe I'll try to drag her off to one of those. We're only there, I believe. Yeah, I think I fired a shot across his bow, or bow in this case, and missed. Don't know where he went, but that's okay. Want to say one thing, which always goes with it, this, is that if you've got a gun, and this is something that my dad taught me, that guns are not toys. No matter how much television shows and movies glorify shooting things and shooting at people, you should never, ever fire a live pistol at another person unless you want to be prepared to accept the consequences of shooting at someone or you work in a law enforcement agency. Because, let's face it, guns do kill people in the wrong hands. And on that note, we are done shooting the breeze, shooting our words, and shooting the stories around. Thank you for joining us at Old Men Stories. See you next week when we go postal.
Ready, aim, story. Setting down the barrel of a loaded gun is the trigger to a tale of tallies and targets, but sometimes our audience misses the point. Did you hit what you were shooting for, or did the narrative go wide? Reload and relive for us, if you aim to please. Jeff Young.
Roland Willett.
Old Men Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share, too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.